Thank you, choir. Good job on all three of the songs. Velma wasn't here, so I got to sing with Sherry on one song today. I kid them a lot. They were up here practicing yesterday afternoon, and as they were leaving, I said, well, I'm leaving too, you know. We couldn't stand anymore with that sound up there. So, but I always appreciate them singing, and I always just think it's so neat that being sisters that they sing together and do a marvelous job. So those of you who weren't here last night, you missed them, and they did a good job. Choir did a good job this morning. I believe you did a little better this morning than even in practice, so that's good. Thank you all. I want to use as a text this morning a thought. It's a question, I guess. Who told you? Who told you? The full text is out of the Old Testament, and it's the words of the Lord unto Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Who told you you were naked? To you who are lost this morning, I want to say this, and I want to make it in no uncertain terms. The Lord will let you know when you are lost. And the Lord will let you know when you are saved. There is no one else who can do that. There are a lot of people today who are thinking that they have the ability to convict you and to cause you to know when you are lost. And they don't have any more power to do that than they do to save you. And they cannot save you. God made a plan before the earth was ever established. And it was a perfect plan. It is a perfect plan, and it will be a perfect plan forever. The problem with God's plan is that too many people who run under the name of Christianity have tried to modify His program or His plan and to change it or adapt it to what they are comfortable with. Too often, we spend too much time in trying to play God and too little time in asking God to do what He is very capable of doing. Every single one of us who have been saved at one time had to come to the realization that we were lost. And we didn't do that because somebody read John 3:16 or the Roman road to us. That didn't happen because some preacher got up and preached about sin. That didn't happen because some church got together and decided that they'd have revival time and they needed you there to make it a revival. It happened because God in His great plan established that somewhere along in the life of every single individual that He would reveal Himself unto them and give them the opportunity for them to be one of His children. And by nature, every single one of us, when that happened, instantly rejected Him. We didn't believe Him. And in so doing then, we had to have some means that we could be reconciled to Him. And God provided that means. People throughout time have always been saved the same way. Every once in a while, someone asked me, well, how were people in the Old Testament saved? They were saved exactly the same way that people are saved in the New Testament and the way that people are saved today. They were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved by His blood being shed on Calvary's cross. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you just a little bit about what's happening to you right now that are lost. If you are lost this morning, God has revealed that to you. I have not revealed it to you because I don't know that. Neither does anyone else. But you know that because God reveals that to you through the Spirit. You say, well, how does that happen? That's a miracle of God that's beyond explanation of man. When Adam was here in the garden and God spoke to him and said, who told you you were naked? What had happened? Well, let's go back and look to see what had happened. After God had created man and placed him in the garden, He placed him in the garden and he gave him some instruction. And this is what He said. He said, God created man in His own image, and the image of God created him, and male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And having dominion over the flesh, a fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, I'm going to skip now. Well, that wasn't the one I wanted anyway. Now, I had that. This is the second time I've kind of messed up here on my scripture. I did that last night. I finally found what I wanted. But what I'm looking for, I think it's here on the right-hand page. Yeah. Left hand column. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, of the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's still what I'm looking for. Here it is. And the Lord God, still on the right page, God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. This is what God is saying to the man, the whom He created. The first man, Adam. Is anybody else existence that time? I don't care what all of you people who are keeping up with all the latest planetary findings are and all the things that we're going to find, I'm convinced you're not going to find that there are other planets with other people living on them. If there are, well, God's taking care of them too. But we've got enough to be concerned about right here on the earth. We're not doing a very good job down here. And we're doing even a poor job in warning people about what is going to happen. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, how plain can that be? As simple-minded as I am, I can understand that. God said you can have of everything out there excepting one tree. And you shall not eat of it. And the day that you eat of it, thou shalt. If you do eat of it, then you will die. Now that's what God said to him. Adam heard it. God then saw that it was not good for the man to be alone, so He made him a helpmeet and called her woman. And Adam then called her Eve. He gave her a name. And the Bible says then in the next chapter, over in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, that the serpent came along. The serpent, who was more subtle than any other beast, more beautiful, more cunning, more enticing than any other beast of the field, came along and spoke to the woman and said, "Hath God not said you shall eat of every tree of the garden?" She said, "That's right. He said we could." She had knowledge. She knew what God had said. Adam had apparently conveyed it to her, had passed it on to her as to what God had said. She said, "Excepting there's one tree that we can't eat of, because God said if we eat of it, we will surely die." And the serpent said, "Thou shalt not die." You're not going to die. Now, let me tell you something this morning, you that are lost. Satan has always been a liar. He will always be a liar, and he will always lie to you. There are a lot of people who will lie to you. There are a lot of people who will try to tell you whether or not you're lost or whether you're saved. I very well remember as a pastor of the church in Santa Paula that when my children were up to where the people thought, well, you know, they're old enough, they ought to be getting saved, that they'd come to me every once in a while. And they were concerned about, especially Diamela, our daughter, who was a little older. And you know, they just couldn't understand why she wasn't saved, and they're putting a little pressure on me. Well, let me tell you something. Whether it's my daughter, my wife, or whether it's my mother, or whether it's one of you, I have no power whatsoever on convicting you nor converting you.
Amen.
Satan will always lie to you. And some of you people want to bring people to the age of accountability before they're ready to be. Now, if you just take care of your own business and let God take care of it, He'll do it. Now, to you lost people, and that's who I want to talk to this morning. The rest of these people, they're all right. They're going to go to heaven if they've been saved. I'm not worried about them. I'm not concerned about them this morning. But I am concerned about you that are lost. I want you to know why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. I want you to know that it's of God. It's not because mama or daddy or me or somebody else comes to you and condemns you. Remember what there was a lady in the Bible that she had gone out here and just committed a terrible sin. And the people brought her to the Lord. They wanted to be sure that the Lord knew what was going on. And they brought her in there and they set her down before him and said, "Now this is what the law says. What do you say?" And the Bible says that Jesus stooped down on the ground and wrote as though he heard them not. And afterwards, whenever that, he said unto him that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And these people all began to feel guilty, and they went away. And he said to the woman, he said, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Where are those that have condemned you? I can't condemn you. I can't accuse you because I'm in no better position than you. I was once lost myself. I know what it's like to be lost. And I know that it takes the Spirit of God to do that. So all the preaching I can do in this world cannot condemn you. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to do that." That's what causes people to feel like they're lost. That's what causes you to feel like you're troubled this morning, is that God is dealing with your heart. But the reason that He's doing that is that He wants to save you. You can't be saved without there first being conviction. You can't be saved until you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care how many verses of Scripture that saved people recite to you and how much they want to tell you. And some of them will. They'll say, "Well, if you just repeat this sinner's prayer, then you'll be saved." That's malarkey. Don't you fall for it. You'll end up in hell just as sure as I'm standing here. And if you're one of those people here this morning that's done that and you believe that, you better get right with the Lord, because you'll end up in hell too. There isn't going to be anybody in heaven that hasn't been saved. I don't care what anybody tells you. And salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of Elkton Baptist Church or Kent Parson or Mama or Daddy or Grandpa or Grandma or Aunt or Uncle or anybody else. The Lord's the one. Who told you that you were lost? Well, the Lord did. Because He wants to save you. But He can't save you until you will listen to Him. Listen to Him. That's why you have the Spirit that speaks to your heart. The serpent said to the woman, "Why, you won't die? Because I'll tell you what will happen. You eat of that tree and your eyes will be open. You'll be listening. You'll be like a god. You know, you'll be able to know the good and the evil." Man, I'll sell you a bill of goods. And He's still doing it today to people. And you know, she partook of the tree and she gave to her husband Adam, and he ate also. They both had knowledge. They both knew that they were going to die if they took them. Even in spite of the fact that Satan had said, "Why, you're not going to die." God had already given them the law that said that you will. Now then, what is the sin that's going to send you to hell? I will tell you what the sin is this morning. Plain and simple. It's not complicated at all. Our theologians, our high-powered preachers, and our powerful people who have all the knowledge in the world have got all kinds of concocted ideas as to what sends people to hell. There's one sin that sends people to hell. That's the sin of unbelief. That's what brought sin into the world. Adam and Eve did not believe what God said. God said, "You eat of that tree and you're going to die." And they listened to what the serpent said. And Eve said, "Well, you know what? That sounds better than what he said." Don't you settle for anything less than what the Lord Jesus Christ gives you. I don't care what anyone else tries to tell you. You listen to the Lord. Satan will do everything he can. After they had partaken of the forbidden fruit, the Bible says they went out and they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. You know why they went out there and hid themselves? Because they were naked and ashamed. Now, they'd been naked all the time and they hadn't been ashamed. What happened? They were ashamed because they were disobedient to what God said. They had not believed God. And that was why they were ashamed. It wasn't that their bodies had changed any. They looked the same as they always had. They were ashamed because they had failed to heed what the Lord said. And the Bible says they tried to hide themselves. I've never seen a sinner yet, whenever that he's or she is lost, who's proud of that fact. I said here the other night, I have never yet, in all of my years of preaching, 60 years, 60 plus, I have never yet heard one single person who's been saved say, "I'm sorry, I'm saved." Haven't heard them say it. But I've never heard a sinner say, "I'm pretty proud that I'm a sinner." Some of them may act like it. Some of them may want you to think that. But I believe with everything there is about me, there's something in them that down deep, if they're honest, is going to say, "I'm not happy about my situation.
when you come to the Lord to be saved, you come with a broken and a contrite spirit. You come in faith, believing that He will save you. You have to believe Him, and He will. They hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. I'm watching the clock, and I know that we're supposed to be out of here by now. But I also know that this is revival time. And so I'm going to finish this morning. I may finish in more ways than one. I don't know. They hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. And in the cool of the day, the Lord came and spoke to them. Now let me tell you something, you that are lost. I've literally had people get up and leave the service when I was preaching. Lost people. Oh, I've had saved people do it because for all totally different reasons. Sometimes they were upset. Sometimes they were mad. Sometimes they didn't like what they heard. I want to share just real quickly a little experience I had. My first time as pastor in Santa Paula, we were out. We had an old building. It was an old packing house. That's what it was. Had an old beat-up door on it that wouldn't stay shut. It's kind of like I grew up with, you know, and it was pretty noisy. And so one night, the service was going along. We're in the business meeting. And you got to remember that Diamela is a baby. And she's been fussing and crying through the service. But something is going on in the business meeting that is very upsetting to Shirley. And you know, I'm conducting the business meeting, and I'm just like I'm watching every one of you. I'm watching. I know what's going on here this morning. And now that's a lie. Because I sure don't know what's going on in your heart. I know what's going on as part of the service. But anyway, she's sitting back there, and Shirley is getting upset. And I can tell this. And she's upset about the bickering and the dickering that's going on in the business meeting. And pretty soon, she gets up, and she goes out. And when she goes out, she slams that door and just nearly took it off the hinges. Those people, oh, you know, poor Shirley, you know, little Diana just got her so upset. I thought, honey, you don't know the half of it. Diana isn't what got her upset. She was upset. I used to tell people, you know, that if Shirley ever got up in a business meeting, in our church there, we practice a little different than we do here. If you wanted to speak in the business meeting, you rose to your feet. And you spoke. You didn't sit there and everybody have their own meeting going. You had a business meeting where people were recognized by the chair. But if Shirley ever got up, I was ready to get down behind the pulpit because I knew she was going to let them have it with both barrels. She was always right. I have to give her credit for that. But boy, I hated to see her get up in a business meeting. And then a lot of times she'd say, you know, those people thought that you put me up to that. I said, boy, I want you to know I never put you up to that. Well, I'm getting away from my subject. But what I want you to understand is that you cannot hide from the Lord. How absurd for Adam and Eve to think they had hid themselves from the Lord. The Lord said, where art thou, Adam? Where are you? You think the Lord didn't know where he was? Well, of course he knew where he was. The Bible teaches that the Lord knows the very number of the hairs of our head. That's pretty close. Where art thou, Lord? Said to them, Adam. He said, I'm here among the trees of the garden. I hid myself because I was naked and ashamed. And the Lord said, who told you you were naked? Now, how did he know that, folks? How did he know he was naked and that he was ashamed? There wasn't anybody else there to tell him, was there? He knew he was wrong. John, when he was preaching, get ready, Tracy and Karen, I'm going to finish real quick. Here's the other half of my text. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warned you? John asked as the people came down to hear him as he was preaching and baptizing. Who warned you? How did those people know they needed to come down there and to repent of their sin? Well, because God had been dealing in their hearts. God was working with them just like He's been dealing in your heart and like He's been working with you. Now, God made provision for Adam and Eve. He made provision for them. Before the world was ever brought into existence, He had made provision for them, but He had also made provision for you and for me. Because when God the Father and God the Son were still up there in the heaven of heavens, and they were talking about when they were going to create the world, it was already determined that man was going to sin, that he was going to disobey God, and that there was going to need to be a remedy for man that he could be saved. And they searched everywhere. And the only one that was found that was worthy said, I will go in time and I will be the person who pays the price for their sin. The Son, Jesus Christ. That was foreordained before the foundation of the earth that He was going to come and die in my stead and in your stead. Then after He came and He said to His disciples, He said, I won't leave them alone down there. The third part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God said, we'll send Him back to be there among the children of men and to deal with them and to move in their hearts that they may know that I am God. And so that this morning is how do we know? Because the Holy Spirit moves in our heart. He still speaks to us as individuals. He still guides us. He will direct you. You are lost if you'll just say, Lord, help me, because I can't do it. And I know that you can and that you will. While we stand, while we sing.